songs that we sing today have been picked out by the family, and they reflect things. I saw something very touching just a moment ago, Daryl and Janie holding, sitting at their table praying, and that was a vital aspect of their life, and it was just very touching. And I realize the songs that we sing are about things they hoped for then, and we hope for now, but they realize in those things in paradise together with the Lord. And very moving. The first three selections will be from our Red Song book, Sacred Selections. The first, 361. We'll sing all the verses. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid out somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me.
To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Darrell Laverne Lancaster was born October 6, 1922, in Asbury, Missouri, the son of Leonard Leroy and Gladys Marie Burgess Lancaster. He had 11 brothers and sisters, five of which survive today: Donna Decker, Bill Smith, Phyllis Wolf, Hope McAllister, and Ruth Tatum. After graduating from Mountain Grove High School in 1939, Darrell went to Higginsville with friends and worked in the coal mines there. After that, he worked in a filling station in the same town, worked several jobs in Higginsville, until November 1940 when he came to Kansas City to live with his Uncle Oscar. He got a job working at Montgomery Ward in the catalog warehouse down at St. John and Belmont. While working at Montgomery Ward, Darrell met Jessie Bernice Wright, his future wife. Bernice used to tell people that she ordered a husband, and they were out of the one she ordered. So they upgraded her order and sent her Darrell. Darrell and Bernice had one date in June 1941, right before he went to work down in Wichita at the aircraft plant there. But he was down there for 6 weeks, and he and Bernice wrote letters back and forth during that time. In one of those letters, Bernice wrote him that her favorite food was macaroni and cheese. He thought she was kidding, so he wrote back that his favorite food was sauerkraut and wieners. Much to his sorrow, he was later served a lot of sauerkraut and wieners before he drummed up the courage to tell her he didn't like it at all. After Wichita, he returned to Kansas City and worked back at Montgomery Ward again. He and Bernice were engaged in November of 1941 and married on Valentine's Day, February 14, 1942. Darrell was drafted into the United States Army Air Force in December of 1942. His basic training was at Clearwater, Florida, where he classified as an airplane mechanic. He first worked as an Army clerk. Then he was sent to Vanderbilt University to become an engineer to study opportunities for the invasion of France. They covered a year and a half of college work in 9 months, but at the end of that 9 months, the United States had already invaded France and the school was closed. Darrell was eventually assigned to combat engineers at Camp Crowder in Joplin, Missouri. In August 1944, they were sent overseas. By September, they had landed at Omaha Beach in France. He said it rained every day, and they lived and slept in the mud. The job of the combat engineers was to build roads and build bridges and clear minefields. Darrell's battalion followed after the infantry, rebuilding roads, clearing minefields for the supply trucks, and they did that for the remainder of the war. Darrell received 2 Bronze Stars for the clearing of mines. One was for a 3-mile stretch of highway. Other people were killing each other, but Darrell was out there saving lives. His battalion then joined the infantry and traveled from France through Belgium into Holland and finally into Germany. On one occasion, Darrell was with a small team responsible for getting a reconnaissance mission across the Rhine River so they could scout the German forces on the opposite bank of that river. They had to cross in full moonlight and under fire. To say that that was a dangerous mission is an understatement. The war ended in 1945. Darrell's battalion was sent to France to build a redeployment camp for the U.S. military who were returning home. And finally, Darrell himself was discharged from the Army in January of 1946. Came back to Kansas City, and that very year he joined a local carpenters union and became a lifetime member of that. Darrell and his brother Melvin were a team contracting houses for people here in the Kansas City area. Darrell and Bernice's daughter, Cheryl Lynn, was born in August 19, 1948. Their son, Denton Keith, was born April 24, 1950. Darrell worked near the end of his carpentry career, 13 years for Commerce Bank, remodeling their buildings before retiring on October 25, 1984. Darrell and Bernice were charter members of the Gregory Boulevard Church of Christ before it was even called that. When we met over at 63rd and Blue Ridge, they were there from the very beginning. Darrell was a faithful member of this congregation for 70 years. And his death marks the end of an era. It's the end of an era because Darrell was the final charter member to leave us. Darrell and Bernice took many camping trips with their close friends, Ray and Janie Green, and their families together. In 1955, Darrell and Bernice bought 7.5 acres off of 87th Street. They wanted to have room for Shetland ponies for the children and other animals, and room for gardening, and Darrell built a house out there, which many of you have been in. On Darrell's 69th birthday, he bought a small organ and taught himself to play. Soon he was entertaining at nursing homes on a weekly basis. He was a very musical man. Later on, he got a keyboard and a big Lowry organ. Some of the pictures that we had on the screen a while ago had some musical instruments that Darrell not only played, but he actually made those instruments. I remember one time seeing Darrell entertain 400 people at once down in southern Missouri by playing his organ. Due to Bernice's deteriorating health, they sold their acreage in June of 2000 and moved into a retirement community here in Raytown. Bernice finally passed away on March the 3rd, 2001 due to heart problems and diabetes. So Darrell sold his property and moved into a condominium here in Raytown. Darrell and Janie Green began dating in February of 2002 and were married on May 18, 2002 and honeymooned in Florida. Darrell and Janie lived, I think, a number of places around the area, but notably out on 86th Terrace. But as their health declined, they eventually moved to Bickford Assisted Living. Janie passed away last December 27th at the age of 91, and Darrell lived on until May the 8th, 2019, the age of 96. When you're 96, most of your peers are gone, have been gone for a long time. If Darrell had died 20 years ago, this place would have been packed, but most of his peers are gone. He is survived by his children, Cheryl C., Denton Lancaster, Dan Green, Sam Green, and Jim Green. He had 11 grandchildren, Michael, Anthony, Jonathan, Adam, Stephanie, Sarah, Nathan, Derek, Christy, April, and Lucas. And additionally, he's survived by 14 great-grandchildren, Josh, Zeke, Sammy Elizabeth, Evelyn Grace, Caden, Stephen, Devin, Logan, Bailey, Riley, Brecken, Kean, Jacob, and Noah. Also, Darrell is survived by a great host of brothers and sisters in Christ and friends. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. At this time, we'll be led in prayer together by Brother Dan Green.
Before we do that, let me share a story. As Rick mentioned, we did camping together as a family, as families. And two experiences that I had that always stand out that Darrell reminded me on several occasions. We went cave exploring one time, and it was at that time down in southern Missouri that you actually carry a lantern. Well, there were enough of us that we didn't have lanterns for everybody, so Darrell gave me his lantern, and I walked in front of him. And it was plenty high for a boy of about 13. Darrell found out that the ceiling was much lower, than that on several occasions. In that, I think it was that same camping trip. We were on one of the rivers down there. They had a rope swing out, and we were swinging out and dropping into the river there. And I was the oldest, so I dropped in, came up, and Daryl asked, "So, is it deep enough?" I said, "Yeah, it went over my head." Well, so Daryl tried it. It didn't go over his head. In fact, he jammed his back that trip, I believe. Always have enjoyed his creativity and his dedication to the Lord and to those that he loved. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Almighty God, we wonder what we can say to honor Daryl at this time. Perhaps the most important thing for us is that he loved you. And that was an unwavering faith in his life. And so, Father, we'd pray for that same conviction for each of us, that we would find that peace within inside us that would lead us to the faith in you. So we're thankful for the memories. We're thankful for the stories. We're thankful for those that have come to support the family at this time. And so we pray for comfort and peace. And we pray for the vision that he and Mom had, that there is something beyond this life worth living for. May we find that vision in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our final song from Sacred Selections will be number 561. 561.
When peace like a river attends. My
had to pick one quality, one word, to describe what I think of when I think of Brother Darrell, I think it would be the word constancy. Darrell had a steadfastness of purpose which I have seldom seen. There was a faithfulness, there was a resolute mind, a stability, an unwavering loyalty. I've known Darrell for almost 7 decades, and he was true blue through thick and thin. When you talked with Brother Darrell, he was always the same. You knew exactly what to accept, what to expect. If he had highs and lows, I didn't see them. What I saw was complete dependability and total trustworthiness. Somehow, he had an impressive inner cohesion. He had sound judgment, and he had reached a level of integration within himself where he was tranquil, settled, and rooted. He learned to withstand the hard winds of volatility and not to crumble in the face of adversity. He grounded his thoughts, his emotions, and his behavior in biblical values. Darrell was a reliable light, showing the way to others. His mind was consistent, his heart was dependable, despite the variety found in any situation. His moderation was well known to all. And he had a dogged perseverance that got him through any job, no matter what it was. When Dan was talking about camping trips, I flashed back to, I was on one of those camping trips in the later years with the Greens and the Lancasters, and we decided to cross a river on a rope. We had a rope out there, but the current was heavier than it looked like from the shore. And I remember Darrell, when he got out in the middle of that river, hanging on and just persevering until he got over to the other side. It was not as easy as it looked, but there was no way he was not going to fulfill what he started out to do. And that's like a little microcosm of his life. Darrell served the congregation here at Gregory Boulevard as a deacon from 1951 to 1966. When Denny and I were little boys, and I do mean little, really small little boys, we were the best of friends, and we were in each other's houses a lot. I remember being in their house one day over here on 67th Terrace. Was it a greenhouse? Seems green in the memory. In that little greenhouse, and Denny and I were inside there just talking, and I was still trying to come to terms with how things worked in the church, so I said to Denny, "Your dad's a deacon." Then he said, "No, he's not, he's a carpenter." Darrell wore many hats. In 1954, Darrell built the house I grew up in. My parents lived in it until they died. My mom lived in that house for 60 years. And it's still a good, solid, well-built house that has withstood many a storm. When this congregation outgrew our building at 63rd and Blue Ridge, Darrell became the construction supervisor for the project that resulted in this building. The beauty and structural integrity of this meeting place are largely attributable to Darrell Lancaster. When some of the subcontractors got a wall wrong, I'll never forget it. He made them tear it all down and start over. It was embarrassing, but I'm glad he did it. If he hadn't done that, no telling what problems we would have had with that wall by now. He was interested in the job getting done and getting done right. One day he had a piece of paneling out here and had it turned over on its back, and he had a coffee can. I think it was a Folgers coffee can. And he was drawing semicircles around the bottom of that coffee can on the back of this piece of paneling. Nobody knew why, but then he started in cutting on that piece of paneling, and it got tacked up here. You can only see the edges right there. Okay. Are you going to use this screen anymore?
No.
Okay.
piece of paneling he was working on, and he took the coffee can all the way across and made those beautiful scallops.
Beautiful scallops.
Yeah. Yeah. Who would have thought of it? But Daryl had a coffee can and an idea, and he added some beauty to our meeting place. That piece of wood has been there for almost 60 years. Everything Daryl made was like Daryl himself, built to last. Tom was telling me before that when his twins were born, they were in North Carolina, and Daryl and Bernice came to visit. And there weren't enough bedrooms, and so Daryl built a bedroom. Can you believe that? And then he didn't like the backyard, so he made a patio and just put it all perfect. You saw a picture of a little red car here on the screen a while ago. Daryl built that. It goes on and on. I remember when he built a camper out of fiberglass. You remember that? He built this camper, and after it was all done and beautiful, he said, well, anybody could do what I did. Right, Daryl. If I worked on it 100 years, I couldn't make it look like he did. The man was gifted. And I don't know if he ever fully understood how gifted he was. But his work for the Lord and others did not stop with just the building of physical things. All the time Daryl was building this meeting house, he never looked on a church building as an end in itself. The purpose of the church building was to be a shelter for the church and to keep the weather off of us while we met for the purposes that the Lord set for the church in the Bible. That was the way he looked at it. So he wore many hats. Daryl was an integral part of the instruction that went on in the congregation here. I have here 9 pages of notes that I took downstairs in the basement during a class that was taught for young people by Brother Daryl Lancaster. I didn't write the year on here, but from the writing and the pen and all, it looks like it would have been about 1963. That was the year we moved into this building. And some of you were probably in this same class. I look through here and it's just vintage Daryl on every page. Practical, down-to-earth teaching. He didn't dazzle us. He just told us step by step and point by point the things that he believed we needed to know. And we did need to know those things. It's a class about our behavior and actions. Neatness, orderliness, tidiness, cleanliness. Be happy and pleasant. Don't do that which we know is wrong. See the best in everything and everybody. Don't be lazy or procrastinate, but do your share and a little more. Do today's work today. Do our work without fussing. Work willingly. Labor to supply our own needs and work to give to the needy. And he's got, or I've written down, probably hundreds of scriptures here that he mentioned. This was on consecutive Wednesday nights for quite a while. Hundreds of scripture references and the points that Daryl drew from those. I'm not going to read any more of that, but it goes on that way for 9 pages. It's a remarkable thing. He was on a mission to teach the next generation what we needed to know. And there aren't any surprises here in these notes, because this is a distillation of Daryl Lancaster himself. What he taught with his mouth, he lived with his life. And we could see that. And I'm very grateful that Daryl was one of my role models while I was growing up. Later on, when I was in high school, he taught us the book of Acts in a very similar way. We went through the book of Acts meticulously and point by point, and he especially focused on Paul's missionary journeys. That was Daryl's wheelhouse when it came to the Bible. He loved that stuff. And by the end of that class, we knew all the places that the book of Acts said that Paul had been, and we knew a little bit about each one of those towns. I appreciate that very much. Daryl served the congregation here as an elder from 1966 through 1980. He was a part of the eldership that sent me out to do the work of an evangelist. And I've sat in many meetings with him during those early years. And I remember very well his practical suggestions and advice during those times. When Daryl and Janie were living in a condominium complex where there were lots of other people around, they had become to a public part of that building and teach the book of Revelation to whoever wanted to show up during those times. Taught the book of Revelation. It was a very interesting time with all those backgrounds coming together and talking through the book of Revelation. But they set that up because of the priorities that Dan mentioned when he was up here. The bottom line on Daryl is that he was a kind, congenial Christian man who had everybody else's best interest at heart. He loved babies and small children. He loved baby animals. He was empathetic toward little creatures who were dependent. Sherry was remembering beforehand that Daryl had set up the barn for the mayor to have the colt in the barn, but she had the colt way out in the pasture, and Sherry has a mental image of Daryl carrying that colt from the pasture to the barn, carrying it just like you carry a dog, because he loved his animals. Sherry said that it interests her that heaven is described in the New Testament in architectural terms. And because of that, she always felt like maybe Daryl understood heaven better than the rest of us, or most of us did, because he thought in terms that were like that. There's no day of your life that you might not die. Most of us aren't going to live as long as Daryl did on this earth. And if he wanted to leave one message with us in conclusion, I'm sure he would say, live for Jesus. Live for Jesus every day and do whatever it takes to make that stick. I want to conclude this morning by reading one final poem that somehow kind of reminds me of Brother Daryl. They say that I'm growing old. I've heard them tell it times untold in language plain and bold. But I'm not growing old. This frail old shell in which I dwell is growing old, I know full well, but I am not the shell. What if my hair is turning gray? Gray hairs are honorable, they say. What if my eyesight's growing dim? I still can see to follow him who sacrificed his life for me upon the cross of Calvary. What should I care if time's old plow has left his furrows on my brow? Another house not made with hands awaits me in the glory land. What though I falter when I walk? What though my tongue refuse to talk? I still can tread the narrow way. I still can watch and praise and pray. My hearing may not be as keen as in the past it may have been. Still, I can hear my Savior say in whispers soft, this is the way. The outward man do what I can to lengthen out this life's short span shall perish and return to dust, as everything in nature must. The inward man, the scriptures say, is growing stronger every day. How then can I be growing old when safe within my Savior's fold, ere long my soul shall fly away and leave this tenement of clay? This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. I'll meet you on the streets of gold and prove that I'm not growing old. I'm so glad I knew Brother Daryl. I'm going to miss him. I said Sunday when I spoke here that I don't know if I can make a speech here without Brother Daryl sitting over here or not. He was such a constant for such a long time. I'm going to miss him, but I'm looking forward to seeing him again in the next world. Let's pray once more. Jehovah God, our Heavenly Father, how precious in your sight and ours is the death of your saints. We're so happy for our dear brother Daryl that he's finally free from all the limitations of time and space and all the problems to which the flesh is heir. And from what we have read in your word and observed in his life, is entered into the rest that remains for your people. What a joy it is to know that Jesus Christ has taken this confusing riddle of life and forged for us a clear conception of the purpose of our existence here. Father, we thank you for Jesus, our great high priest, who was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin, who became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him, who went to the tomb of Lazarus and wept, and then raised him up from the dead. We know that the Lord Jesus is touched in our times of separation and reminiscence. But we can't really call what we're feeling today sorrow. We're not sad because he left home. We're glad because he went home. So when we sorrow not as others which have no hope. And yet, as we commemorate his tremendous influence on all of us, sometimes our emotions do gush forth. That's the way you made us, and you know our frame. So, Father, we thank you for blessing our memorializing of Daryl's exemplary life today. And may this stimulate and spur each of us to mirror in our lives his Christian character, following him as he followed Christ. Thank you, God, for giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
In the Book of Faith and Praise, number 851.
Sun and morning, when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home of God's celestial shore. I'll fly away,
followed by the family. All those who wish to join us for burial will immediately take place at Floral Hills. If you'd like to join us as a part of the procession, I ask that you just turn on your emergency hazard lights so that the escorts will know you're a part of the procession.